Don't say that you pray for me. It offends the other gods. Don't say that you pray for me. It offends the other gods.
You are listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm your host, Taya J, and I am joined today via phone by singer-songwriter John Craigie. Thank you very much for being here, John.
Very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Congratulations on the release of your brand new album, released just this last Friday. I feel so lucky to be talking to you while it's all fresh and new and exciting. So congrats.
Me too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have heard your newest album titled Mermaid Salt described as a quiet symphony. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, I think that's a bold statement, you know, for a folk singer. But I think for me, yes, because I had time on this project to add lots of layers. Normally, my technique in recording is get a bunch of people into a room with instruments and we just play it all live. So there tends to not be a lot of extra stuff. Normally, with my touring schedule, I don't have 5 days to make a record or 6 days. But this time I had with lockdown, I had, you know, 2 years.
I'm curious about this idea of creating during the pandemic. I think about your, you have that great line in Presidential Lining that goes, artists are better when they're bummed. And of course, that was written about the 2016 election. But I'm curious if you feel like that statement applies to the process of creating during the pandemic as well.
I would hope so. I honestly don't, I can't speak for all artists because I think everyone took it differently. In the beginning, it was hard for me because it was the first time in my life, obviously probably many people's lives, where we had this situation, this tragedy, but we couldn't gather. You know, I think every like apocalypse that I envisioned as a younger man involved my ability to still get people together and talk about it or sing about it or whatever. I think that was a challenge for sure for me to sort of figure out how do I make this still have a real sound, you know, a sound that like I'm really making an album. But I think that's why where the quiet symphony comes from is that when you listen to classical music, we don't necessarily think of like Beethoven in there like jamming out with his friends. We sort of think of it as this ethereal, you know, almost like it didn't even come from anywhere real. And I think that's kind of what I wanted. Whereas in all my other albums, I wanted people like a Bob Dylan record or, you know, a record by the band or something. I wanted everyone to feel like, yeah, these guys are all together in this room. And this time I almost wanted it to seem like I could completely disappear. We could all disappear and people wouldn't even know what instrument that was or what that sound was, which sounds more pretentious than I wanted to, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, with that introduction in mind, what should we play first off of the new album?
Let's start with Distance, just because I think that was the first single we dropped. And to me, that was the first song that I said, this is the direction I want to go in. And that's a good starter, I think.
Excellent. Let's go ahead and take a listen to Distance.
I could lose you to the loneliness, vast and infinite, to the phones that blink and blink, and some nights don't blink. To your newfound freedom, the ever-changing seasons and all the options falling at your feet. I could lose you to your dreams, possible now they seem. Somehow don't fit along my path. But darling, please don't let me lose you to the distance. I could lose you to the drugs, all the best ones, but you would know longer crave my embrace. I could lose you to our paranoia, the deep and heavy traumas, and all the crazy thoughts that we might think. I could lose you to another man who could be around more than I can. Show up and simply hold his stains. Darling, please don't let me lose you to the distance. Salty and free, with nothing but the stars above to glisten. I could lose you to the roaring crowd, the tiny little mountain towns, or the desert where all we do is listen. To the mysteries of the heart, jumping back and forth, to all of these I would understand. Darling, please don't let me lose you to the distance. Darling, please don't let me lose you to the distance.
Just heard Distance off of John Craigie's brand new album, Mermaid Salt. It seems to me like, I mean, you're sort of inherently an entertainer, right? Like, you're such a storyteller. And one of the beautiful things about seeing you live is the stories that go along with the songs. It's not just watching you perform, but it's like the stories that accompany that. What is it about songwriting and performing as a medium for conveying stories that resonates with you versus sort of any other medium you could have chosen?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, when I was a kid, I did want to be a author. You know, that was like my first desire. And then I wanted to be a filmmaker. But also, music was my favorite of all of those things. I think it's somewhat harder to tell a story in a song just because you don't have that much time. And I got really impressed by songs that could do that. You know, I always say this, but that old song, Long Black Veil, you know that song?
Mm-hmm.
That to me is like one of the best examples of a story song in just like, I think it's only 6 lines, you know, minus the chorus. So I would hear songs like that and I'd be like, geez, you know, I grew up reading like Steinbeck and, you know, Stephen King and great, you know, these good authors, but who took forever to tell their story. So I love the challenge of that too. And, also songs with it being short, you know, it could end in the middle. It could be very vague. I like that about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take a listen to another song. What should we hear next?
Next, let's do Helena, not to go in the order of singles entirely, but this was the second single. I think this captured the next level of when we finally got into the studio. This was a song that could have very easily just been really folky and really, you know, sort of normal for me. And this is the one where I said, okay, no guitar. I'm not going to play a guitar. I mean, there is a guitar later in the song, but we would basically be more focused around the keyboard and the beat. And I was really happy with how it came out.
Thank you. I was born dead, mama told me. She said the devils, they didn't want me. And they left me behind for her to hold. And she said no one could see me. I was invisible to everybody. And we would have revenge for what they stole. She said fire was how we'd make them pay. As I ran across the fields, she would scream, light it up, sir. I would burn that shit down to ashes. And I would crawl out of the flames back into her arms. And she was right, no one could see me. I was her ghost, I was her banshee. And in our wake, we watched Montana burn. Somehow they figured out that it was her. But it only made us run faster. Chase, she decided that we would make our peace. See, I'd been born dead, and she was jealous the whole time. So she tied us both to the stairwell, made me light one last farewell. I could still hear her crying through the flames. And when the Helena police arrived at the scene, it must have burned away my invisibility. They pulled me out, not a scratch they couldn't believe. Just a loose rope wrapped around me, not tied to anything. Light it up, son.
We just heard Helena off of John Krecke's brand new album, Mermaid Salt. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to KVNF. This is Talkin' Music. I'm Taya J, and today I am joined via phone by John Krecke, who is at home in Portland talking to me, it sounds like, from your kitchen. Are you doing dishes, my friend?
Yes. Oh, sorry. I was watering a couple plants.
No, I'm just teasing you. No, it's great. It's like we're right there with you in your living room.
Yeah. Sunday's watering day, so.
You just reminded me. It is for me as well. My plants will thank you, because
yes.
I probably would have forgotten.
Yes, of course. Good, good.
So I'm curious, I notice you don't put title tracks on your albums. There's mention of a mermaid in your song Street Mermaid, and there's mention of salt in the track Drown Me, but you don't have a title track named Mermaid Salt. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you do that on any of your albums. And I'm curious what the reasoning is behind that decision.
That's a very good question. I don't know if I have a great answer for it. And thank you for it's nice when people can pick up on that. You know, I guess maybe like what you said, you know, there's a mermaid in Street Mermaid, there's a salt in Drown Me. Maybe there's a part of me that kind of likes the treasure hunt. You know, I think when I was a kid, maybe now I feel like I'm in therapy and we've just uncovered some, you know, some cool things.
You're welcome. I won't even charge you, John. I'm not even going to charge you for that.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that. Did you ever read like Where the Red Fern Grows when you were a kid in school?
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. It broke my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful book. So I remember like I'm reading that book and I'm like, why is this called Where the Red Fern Grows? And then if you remember, like, it's like the last page or the last couple pages. I don't know if it's like the total titular line or if it's just, you know, I think it's where he buries the dogs or the dog and then there's a red fern or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I think that then I had that like, oh, similar to Catcher in the Rye has a moment like that, right? You're reading, it's such an interesting title and you're like, what the hell is he talking about? And then all of a sudden, somewhere in the middle of the book, there's like this little thing and you're like, oh, cool. And I think I really like that in literature, in songs. I take a lot of time naming things, which I don't like to name things. If I could, I wouldn't name any songs. Unfortunately, like it just, I understand the necessity of that, but naming songs always feels very weird to me and very, I don't know, not childish, but it just seems strange to have this this creation, you know, and it's not like, I don't know, it's like calling it like Bob or Samantha, you know what I mean? Like just, it's, I don't think it's a person, it's so fluid, it's so intangible, it shouldn't have a name, but it has to, I get it. So naming albums can be tricky for me, but I also understand that it's a way to title this project, you know, almost make everything sort of fall under it. So I sit with it for a while, but yeah, I think maybe I don't like the obvious thing or maybe I think that's too cheesy if there's a title song. I think maybe I just like it more when there's a little bit of mystery, a little bit more of a treasure hunt.
Yeah, it's like burying the lead a little bit. If you could pick another time period to have come of age in, what would it be, John?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. I'm assuming like be born in late 1940s, and that way you're sort of, you know, you sort of like, I think you're the right age for a lot of stuff. The Beatles come out maybe, you know, when you're in a preteen, you know, so you're kind of getting, you're like there for them when you're a kid, and you kind of grow with the Beatles, and then by the time you're maybe you're sort of an adult, you can go to Woodstock, you know, maybe you're 18 or 19 and you can go to Woodstock, and then in the 70s you're in your 20s and you can sort of be alive, and then, you know, live music is kind of starting to really take shape and concerts are starting to happen in a big way, and I think that I think about that a lot. I think I would have done well in that time period.
And the fashion wasn't terrible either. I feel like the style was pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, so good. I think, yeah, 60s would be nice. Let's go with that.
yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Do you think, I mean, humor, you're a very funny man. When did you figure out that you were funny, or when did you figure out that you could kind of bring those elements of humor and social commentary and storytelling to your performances?
Yeah, I mean, that's a wonderful question. I feel like that's almost like you set me up for, you know, this is something I talk about a lot. But for me, I was funny before I was musical. My father was very funny. He was a classic funny dad. And I grew up with his sense of humor. And he was very much a storyteller. Now, in like proper dad fashion, he was pretty cheesy, pretty corny. And he would tell the same stories a lot. But what came with that was I got to watch his delivery as he had different audiences, right? So he would tell me, then we'd go out to breakfast, he'd tell the waitress, you know? And so I would sort of see the notion of like how to construct a bit, how to construct a story, how to work with your audience, right? Like if you can tell that this person thinks this kind of thing is funny, you go with that. So I was like a nerdy kid. I got picked on a little, bullied a little, and I found early on that by being funny, it was a way to sort of, it was a different kind of popularity. It was sort of court jester vibes, but still people would be like, hey, don't beat that guy up. We need him, you know, we need some jokes. And so that was very much almost like just like survival of the fittest kind of thing.
Totally.
It came in. But then, you know, I grew up in the 90s. So like music at that time was very like serious. Nirvana, you know, was like that was like the bedrock. Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, like all this 90s music. And I would go see those kind of artists and they would not say a word. You know, they would look down, and music was definitely about being cool and not telling any stories whatsoever. So that's kind of how I thought it was going to be. And then I saw Arlo Guthrie, I think I was 19 or something, at a venue in Santa Cruz. And then and that's what he does, obviously, you know. And I was very excited to realize that you could marry the two. I think what's weird about music, and I think a lot of people will say this, is that playing a song, you can kind of close your eyes and just sing it, and that's fine. But once you have to start doing the bits, it involves just more interaction and more folk, like you have to be more present. And so that can be harder to do with an audience there. So it took time. Eventually I learned that by telling the stories behind the songs or the stories of my travels, that could work. So that's kind of where I began, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and listen to something else. What should we hear next?
Let's do Coming Down.
Upon a time I'd be making babies, planting seeds in an empty country full of dreams, the little sapling of my family tree. I would have been good, I would have been good. That time is gone. He suggests I don't give up. I could have been good. Say I could have been good. Oh, somebody count me down.
We just heard Count Me Down off of Mermaid Salt, John Craigie's brand new album out this past Friday. I'm curious, what's a piece of advice that you would give your younger self, or that you'd give, you know, someone out there working hard, trying to kind of believe in themselves and their art?
The main thing that I think I would have told my younger self is that quantity is not as important as quality. And I think taking time, if maybe, because you might have five mediocre songs, but maybe within those five is the ingredients for one really good song. The world right now is so crowded with shows and songs. And I think sometimes if we're not giving it a very strong and very, you know, well fabricated and authentic thing, then I think the world just doesn't need it. And also just make sure that everything that's coming out of you is true and honest, because what we want now is just someone's authentic expression, which beautifully we all have within us, which is really cool.
Well said. What should we go out on today, John?
Let's go out on Microdose, which is the opening track. And I'm very proud of the construction of this song. I think this was a song where I was able to really explore the notion of different parts. I was excited for it.
Thank you so much, John Craigie, for being with me today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right.
Bye.
Into sunrise, off you drove to show this was just the beginning. I microdosed for months and months, dissolved my ego in the acid. It's a war of the gods, baby, how do I...